2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Man, it feels good to be back. BYU football game day. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte going to be talking some Cougar football over the next 3 hours here on KSL News Radio. We've had a little bit of a hiatus the last 5 or 6 weeks. BYU's been having all these afternoon games, so network coverage of BYU football has covered our show. So we are happy to have this night game and talk some BYU football with you this Saturday afternoon.
Returning from suspension, as the Unrivaled group joked earlier this week. No suspension for us, but man, we have been dying to talk BYU football. So much has happened, Mitch, since we last did a live show, and we're keeping things current with the podcast, but boy, do we have a great show for you guys today.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a great show lineup for you. Again, BYU and Boise State game day conversation. Cougars going to be taking on the number 14 ranked Boise State Broncos, who come into Provo 6-0. It's the first time BYU has ever faced 4 ranked teams in Provo. How crazy is that? We'll continue to break down the game more in depth with Bob Beeler, voice of the Boise State Broncos, coming up a little bit later this hour. Former Washington State and NFL quarterback and now ESPN analyst Ryan Leaf, he'll be on the TV call of the game. He's going to be joining us a little bit later in the show, and then BYU safety Austin Lee. So we got a great show lineup for you. Settle on in. Listen to us on 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, and the KSL News Radio app. You can also interact with us on Twitter, KSL Sports there, Biamonte Matt and Mitch underscore Harper. We got a poll of the day discussing this BYU Boise State game. That's going to take us to the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, it's the leadoff. BYU and Boise State. BYU coming into this game 2-4. And I got to say, the pulse of Cougar Nation out there, I feel you. I feel the pain right now, BYU fans. It's a tough stretch for this Cougar team as they've lost their last 3 games. So the question today, as they get ready for the Boise State Broncos tonight, what change would you like to see most versus Boise State? We've got a little bit of different options on our Twitter poll. Blitz the quarterback, personnel changes, different play calling, or other. 57% of you right now saying you want to see some blitzing. You want more blitzing on that defense, and I can't complain with you there.
Yeah. For me, I mean, you definitely want to see some shakeup in the defense. However, I keep coming back to this thought. Yes, the defense is not as good as we all want it to be. They rank at the bottom in a couple key categories. I mean, especially run defense. I mean, I think they're 122nd in the country in run defense, so not good enough. But for me, Mitch, I'm actually looking for better play calling, specifically in the red zone. And this BYU offense, they're moving the football. I mean, between the 20s, Mitch, there are plenty of opportunities to score. But when they get into the red zone, they just can't find a way to punch it in. They have 18 trips to the red zone this year, Mitch. 9 of them in field goals and 9 of them touchdowns. And seemingly they can't throw a touchdown in the red zone. Only three passing touchdowns in the red zone this year. There's got to be a shakeup with the play calling. I can't break down any more simpler than that. There's got to be better play calling, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, it's been a really difficult stretch for BYU because this team's struggling right now. They're a program, to me, four years in with Kalani Sitake. Well, three and a half, still the back half of the season yet to go. Kalani Sitake's program still doesn't have an identity. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of Cougar fans out there listening today have a problem with, is that BYU, you think in year four, things are going to turn the corner. I'll tell you, in fall camp, I thought, okay, this team's going to be pretty good. I thought, you know, 8-9 wins was in the realm of possibility. Now, suddenly, we're talking about this team maybe missing a bowl game. This thing turned in a hurry from 2-1 and that amazing win against USC to now fighting for your bowl life and hoping to get to the postseason. It's crazy how things have turned. Those Toledo and South Florida losses were terrible losses for this program to suffer at a critical time where Kalani Sitake is looking to get a contract extension. So, yes, now you need to have changes coming into this game against Boise State, because what's been going on to this point of the season, it's not working. And you got to make some changes, and I fully expect a lot of changes to take place tonight.
I'm glad you brought up those two losses, because you think about those two losses, and in previous years you got losses against UMass, Fresno State, Eastern Carolina, Northern Illinois. Those are the losses that have really hurt this program, Mitch. It's not the Utah losses are not fun. I can't stand losing to Utah as a BYU fan, but that's, I don't want to say expected, but it's understandable. You can live with losing to Washington. You can live with losing to Utah. It hurts, but you can live with it. What you can't live with are the losses to these teams, and in particular, Toledo and South Florida. They had leads in the fourth. They blew fourth quarter leads, and time and time again, this team has played below their talent level against these teams that shouldn't be to the par that BYU is at. And that puts BYU in a really tough spot this year, and it's putting Kalani in a tough spot in terms of his job.
You can text us at 57500 on the UCCU KSL text line. Keep chiming in and weigh in on what changes you would like to see with this BYU football team tonight against the undefeated 6-0 Boise State Broncos, who come into this game tonight. I don't know how good Boise State necessarily is, but they're Boise State, they're consistent, and one thing's for sure, they're not going to beat themselves. BYU, on the other hand, they beat themselves all the time, and this is a team that's not disciplined, they're not making the correct decisions, alignments, coaching. There's so many issues right now, and this is a tough game to try and get right. But the thing is that we know about BYU under Kalani Sitake is when you completely write them off,
yeah,
they'll spring some sort of crazy upset and go, how did that happen? How did you do that? There is that opportunity, and this thing is still kind of what a touchdown favorite Boise State is right now, but change has got to happen. I really look at what Kalani, how he said earlier in the week that he's in a tight spot. He knows his back's kind of against the wall right now, because these losses where you're losing to Toledo in South Florida, you have those losses, that's hard to sell on a contract extension and say to boosters and fans, you're the guy of the future, when you have all those losses piling up against programs that have less resources and are far inferior than the brand and the prestige of BYU. So now you got to make changes. I think, you know, Kalani's going to be more involved in that defense tonight. I got to imagine, you know, he's going to be taking over a little bit more of the play calling duties tonight, because BYU's defense, I can't believe I'm saying this, Matt, they cannot stop the run. They're one of the worst in the country.
Yeah. And there's no reason to not just shake things up. At this point, we're six games in. The defense hasn't changed its philosophy that much, and the results haven't changed. They're not sacking the quarterback a lot. They're 125th in the country in sacks. They can't stop the run. They're actually pretty good in pass defense. But, man, after six games, you got to say what we're doing isn't working. And so I hope and pray, Mitch, I hope and pray that we just do it all. Radical blitz packages, maybe some different personnel. Let's try anything and everything to try and get this win. Because if you don't get this win, we're going to talk about this in the second hour, there could be serious shakeup in Provo if they lose this and maybe use to Utah State. So this is a critical game for this BYU football team.
And what makes this tough, too, the stretch of critical games, because you're right, Matt, it is a critical game for BYU. They got to show progress tonight against Boise State. But what makes it difficult is you don't know what the quarterback situation is right now. Tonight, BYU going to be going in, and the quarterback situation, it's up in the air. Could be Jaren Hall, who did practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, a little bit limited on Thursday. But he's been practicing. He's in protocol still. And then also Baylor Romney, who came in those two drives last week against South Florida, showed well, but a redshirt freshman who hasn't played a down prior to last week in, what, 5 years? I mean, he showed well for a guy that, in all things considered, he did a nice job. But the quarterback situation is up in the air right now, and that makes things even tougher when, once again, BYU's having to change the guard at quarterback once again.
And one thing that has not been talked about enough this week, Mitch, is, yes, we don't know who's going to play quarterback. The offensive line is banged up, and BYU's running game has been dead in the tracks since Tyson Williams got hurt. And now you've got banged up offensive linemen. That's going to put even more pressure on whoever the quarterback is to maybe provide some of that boost with his legs. We saw that a little bit with Jaren Hall, but I'm worried about the offensive line. If they're not at full strength, and we know that they're not, but that's tough, and that's going to put even more pressure on this quarterback.
And one of those changes that I would like to see tonight, I think a guy like Jeff Grimes has got to take more control over that offensive line, because Grimes, I mean, one of the highest paid offensive line coaches prior to arriving at BYU. That's unacceptable. You hired Jeff Grimes to have a great offensive line, and man, we were giving them all the praises in the world. Now, yes, there's been injuries to that group, but still, BYU should be a lot better in the trenches than what they've been showing the past few weeks. Again, keep chiming in, 57500 on the UCCU KSL text line. And because BYU and Boise State's a lot on the line here, I think for both teams, Matt, I think BYU and Boise State, this is a big game for both teams. For Boise State, they have bigger goals in mind. They're looking to get in the New Year's Six, and BYU just trying to get another win in that win column, because it's been almost a month since they got a W.
We're wondering on the KSL Sports Twitter page, what change would you like to see most tonight versus Boise State? Blitz the quarterback, some personnel changes, different play calling. And if it's not one of those three, let us know. We do have a text coming in, Mitch. This is from 3324. It's time for Kalani to take over the defensive play calling, and Roderick needs to call the offensive plays. Kind of an interesting idea there. For sure, Jeff Grimes is calling the plays this week and going forward, but as far as the defensive side of things, there might be some change.
Yeah, I think defensively, I really expect Tuiaki to be kind of taking a back seat to Kalani. I think Kalani's going to be calling those plays. And you know what? Honestly, I think this texter, 3324, makes a great point on Grimes, though, too. I think Grimes, I mean, what Grimes has done to this point, because I get the feeling, Matt, that Kalani always wanted to have Roderick as his OC, because I'm of the belief that Ty Detmer was originally hired, you know, by Tom Homo.
Right.
And then when Kalani got on board as the head coach, Ty was his OC and he signed off on that. That didn't work out. And then he couldn't hire his buddy again. The fans would not, like, they would have freaked out. BYU fans, you fire a legend and then you hire another friend. You can't do that. So he hires Jeff Grimes, and Grimes, the return on investment for Jeff Grimes has not been good. I mean, BYU in the red zone is bad. So, I mean, I think behind the scenes, you know, Aaron Roderick is right there with Jeff Grimes in terms of play calling. I got to imagine that, you know, Roderick's maybe going to have a little bit more authority on that play calling as well. I mean, changes have to happen because BYU's backs are against the wall. Not only Kalani, but this entire staff, because they are hitched to Kalani. All of them are kind of, you know, in a situation where they got to start winning ball games to secure their job.
Mitch and I, we were down in Provo earlier this week. We had a chance to talk with Jeff Grimes and with Coach Aaron Roderick. And it's time to get to a new segment here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Cougar Cuts. This week's best Cougar quotes and commentary. It's Cougar Cuts on Cougar Sports Saturday.
We just talked about Aaron Roderick, but the texter saying maybe he needs to call the plays. Here's what Aaron Roderick had to say earlier this week about the offensive red zone struggles.
It's atrocious. It's got to get better. We got to finish drives. And we got to finish our drives. We're moving the ball a lot better than we did a year ago. But what we did well last year was when we did get down there, we got touchdowns. We were very good at that last year. It's just we didn't get down there as often as we'd like. This year we're moving up and down the field, but we're not finishing our drives. And it's a team-wide issue right now. It's, you know, and it's been the entire focus of my week. It's just making sure we execute in the red zone.
Later in that interview, he was asked, is Coach Grimes going to call the plays? He said Coach Grimes is calling the plays, but if the offense doesn't score in the red zone and they don't produce more points, this texter could be onto something. There could be a moment where he has more of an influence. Now, he did go on to say He recommends stuff to Coach Grimes all the time, but right now it is Jeff Grimes calling the plays. But Aaron Roderick is dead on the money here. The red zone offense, I mean, we mentioned this earlier in the show, 18 red zone trips, Mitch. If they had three or four more touchdowns rather than the 9 field goals and 9 touchdowns, we might be looking at 4-2, if not 3-3.
No doubt.
I mean, the red zone struggles. I mean, I know that we want to blame the defense. The defense hasn't been good, but if the offense could take care of business, the defense wouldn't be in this position.
And I think also, not only with just finishing drives and getting touchdowns, that's easier said than done, but maybe understanding your personnel too. Yeah. You know, not having, we were talking in the middle of the week, you know, about Matt Bushman.
Yes.
You got to get Matt Bushman involved. Even if that guy's double and triple teamed, I love the odds of getting Matt Bushman the ball. He's going to come down with a catch somehow, some way. That guy is a playmaker. You got to target him.
Yep.
Don't this fantasy that he's going to be this blocking tight end. No.
Let it
he's
go.
He's a receiving tight end.
Yep.
Let it be. I mean, let the NFL evaluate that down the road. But in college, he is a receiver, and he's a big-time one for BYU. You got to target him often in that red zone. He's the best option in the passing game for BYU, and he might be the best option in the red zone offensively without – now that BYU's been a month without Tyson Williams, BYU's got to target Matt Bushman when they get inside the 20.
It's crazy to think, Mitch, that his only touchdown reception of the year was off a dropped interception.
And against Washington, yeah.
And you think about those two final drives against South Florida, he was targeted once on the 8 plays they had down there, one time. And I think it was a fade that was back in the back corner that he didn't even have a chance to make a play on it. Force this dude the football. I mean, he's tied on the team in receptions right now with Heifo at 23, but he's just not being used in the red zone. There's too many times where he is asked to block. I mean, since we're talking about BYU and Boise State, think about last year. Was it the last play of the game against Boise State?
Yeah.
Blocking on the final play? Get this guy out in the passing routes and get him the football.
No doubt. And the thing, what's amazing too about Bushman is that he's been a guy that I think could be one of the all-timers in BYU history. I mean, the stats, he's rising up the ranks for BYU all-time as tight end, but he's done it with just a revolving door at quarterback. 3 different guys in 2017,
yep.
Tanner and Zach in 2018, Zach, Baylor, Jaron. I mean, man, the guy is productive regardless of who the quarterback is, so they got to get him the rock early and often in this game. And whoever the quarterback ends up being, because still, for those of you who haven't been following this week, it's going to be a game-time decision. Jaron Hall or Baylor Romney or maybe Joe Critchlow. He's been getting reps, but I feel pretty confident in saying Joe Critchlow very likely not going to be the starter for BYU. It's either going to be Hall or Romney. My feeling is that Hall probably gets that nod. It could be the fact that he's been practicing, but still, he's been in protocol, hasn't been cleared officially yet. So it's either going to be Jaron Hall or Baylor Romney tonight getting the start at quarterback for BYU. Got to get out to the phone line, though, and welcome in our first guest of the afternoon. He's the voice of the Boise State Broncos for the Learfield IMG College Bronco Radio Network. He is Bob Beeler. Bob, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Thank you very much. Yesterday was a gorgeous day. When I got up, it was blue skies down here in Provo, and then now it looks like it's getting cloudy, and I think you're right. I heard you guys' weather report that probably not going to be the greatest night for football tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty cold one, and hopefully still fans show up for a game that I think is a big one for both sides involved. BYU obviously looking to end a 3-game losing streak, and Boise State 6-0. This feels like par for the course for this great Boise State program that year after year just continues to put out great results. I mean, just speak to how amazing it is to see Boise State year after year continue to always be in these national rankings.
Well, I think part of it is that they've just done a nice job of coaching and recruiting and getting, you know, a lot of depth. And, you know, depth will be tested tonight. You know, we don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback for Boise State tonight, so you're counting on depth there. I know BYU is in the same boat. And then, you know, you've got guys that rotate in, and to be that good and win that many games, you've got to have a lot of people contribute. So it's been a very consistent program throughout time. And you know, it's just really amazing when you look back at how many games they've won over the last so many years.
You mentioned the quarterback situation for both teams. For BYU, something that they liked about Zach and Jaron Hall was that regardless of who was playing, it was going to be the same type of system. How is it for Boise State? Are Chase Cord and Hank Bachmeier similar quarterbacks, or do they bring something different to the table?
I think everybody brings something a little bit different to the table, but I think they're probably similar enough that, you know, it's not like you're going to go from an option team to a, you know, a run and shoot team. You know, you're going to have your basic plays that you run. And I'm sure that, you know, whatever Hank's strengths are, I'm sure there's some plays he reps and runs better than Chase, and, you know, vice versa. So I think that you're going to play to somebody's strengths, but I don't think if you are just watching, you know, I don't think you're going to say, wow, this Boise State team looks different. If, you know, if one quarterback's in and then maybe if another guy comes in, it's not going to, like last week we played three, you know, and you wouldn't notice really any difference as far as what they're in and what they look like.
What is the strength of this Boise defense, and maybe how do they stack up to previous Boise State defenses?
Well, I think this defense has been, you know, really consistent. They've got a lot of strong players. I mean, obviously they're led by Curtis Weaver, who leads the nation in sacks, but they've got solid secondary, depth at defensive line. The linebacking took a hit with the injury to Zeke Noah a couple of weeks ago, but Benton Wickersham has stepped up and averaged 7 tackles a game in his spot. So, I don't know. I just think they're solid. They have gotten a lot of sacks this year. Again, we were doing that. Haven't maybe forced as many turnovers as you would like, but they did get 4 last week against Hawaii, 3 fumbles and an interception. But they just are very competent. They're competent in getting enough people to the ball, making tackles. They've been really strong in the second half. Last week they gave up a few second half points to Hawaii, but the horse was out of the barn at that point. But this is a team that, you know, I think if somebody asked, you know, maybe where are they better than in past some of the past Boise State teams, at least in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, it seems like they're probably a little stouter defensively.
Talking with the voice of the Boise State Broncos, Bob Beeler, right now here on Cougar Sports Saturday. And you mentioned Curtis Weaver. He became the all-time career sack leader in the Mountain West Conference. What's his story? I mean, because he's only a junior, I believe. He's already the top guy in sacks for the conference.
He's pretty good. He's very athletic. He's very strong. He's very smart. So he's tough to handle. And he does a great job of, you know, figuring out how to get in there and getting the quarterback down. He's very, very dynamic. And, you know, if I'm BYU, you better have an answer for him. And it better be some help for whoever's, you know, if it's on the outside, if it's Christensen or Soleaponga, whoever the tackle is that's out there, you better have some help for him because Weaver's pretty good. And I think a lot of the reasons he's pretty good is Moa, Louie, and Hatata inside, they're very good also. So maybe Weaver's the guy that's reaping the benefits, but those other three guys are doing a tremendous job up front as well that, you know, kind of maybe get some openings for Weaver because you can't just, you know, slack off on those three.
You know, I got to say, Bob, when this series was signed back in the early 2010s, I thought, man, this is going to be one of the best regional matchups and become a national matchup that people around the country are going to want to watch because BYU and Boise State have always had a history of success. Now, Boise State, they've held up their end of the bargain year after year, you know, being in the national rankings. But BYU, the last couple of years, they're coming in with these like 2-4 records like they do tonight. Does Boise State still enjoy this game being played on an annual basis?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a game that's very exciting. And when you look at the games that have happened in the last few years, I mean, many of the games have come down to the final play or the final minute. You know, last year, Boise State got a sack to win the game with BYU having the ball down around the 10-yard line. Boise State had a blocked field goal, a fourth down and long converted to Juergens for a 35-yard touchdown. So I think not only are you having good games, but you're having memorable finishes that, you know, you can just think of off the top of your head. And I think that, you know, we've got a lot of people coming down here for the game tonight from the Boise area. It's a close road trip. There's not a lot of teams that you can face. Utah State probably being the other one where you could basically get in your car and go to. Nevada might be one of them down in Reno, but they're in the other division. So, you know, we don't see them on the road, but every 4 years. So I think it's a series that, you know, is popular with people, not only the fans, but also people on the team. Now it's going to be a challenge. And it's a challenge for BYU. So I think that's what people like, especially when they go to the game in person.
He is Bob Beeler, play-by-play guy for the Boise State Broncos. Bob, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Keep the wet stuff away. It's more fun when it's dry.
Amen.
We'll try.
Seriously, yeah. Take care, Bob. All right, that was Bob Beeler, play-by-play guy for the Broncos. Great stuff from Bob. And the weather, I'm glad he brought it up. That could be an impact for both teams because this is going to be probably the dirtiest and most difficult conditions that both teams have played in this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough conditions, I think, out there. And hopefully, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what type of turnout comes for this BYU game in Provo. Because I got to say, that last home game against Washington, still a pretty good turnout. That throwback game was a lot of fun as far as the atmosphere. The USC game was amazing. One of the best home games, I think, in the last 20 years in Provo. It was great, the atmosphere there. Hopefully still some fans want to show up and support the Cougs, but I got to imagine, Matt, that people are going to be looking and saying, I'm going to listen on the radio, on KSL News Radio, maybe fire up the TV as well at home. But nonetheless, it's going to be an interesting game because I think this BYU and Boise State matchup, it is a rivalry. It's, yes. It's a game where, you know, maybe you've gotten to the point where throw the records out. It is a rivalry because BYU does keep this thing close. And Boise State, they're undefeated, but who have they really beat? I mean, the last time that we were in studio was back on August 31st, Matt. We were here in broadcast house. It's been that long. BYU's been playing too many afternoon games, but I bring that up because Boise, in that day when we were broadcasting, they played Florida State. Since
right.
then, they've played really a bunch of no ones. Yeah. And Air Force was a good win. Hawaii last week, okay, but still, this might be the toughest test in terms of personnel that Boise has gone up against since that game against Florida State back in August.
What change would you like to see most tonight versus Boise State? And 57% of you last I checked, refreshing the poll here, down to 54% now, say blitz the quarterback. And right behind that is different play calling at 30%. You can chime in on Twitter as well. One person says none, because BYU doesn't make adjustments, one of their selections.
Wow. Some salty fans out there, but hey, I get it. I get it. You're upset, Cougar fans. I totally understand where you're at because, man, the way BYU's playing as of late, it's just like, really? Come on now. I mean, because injuries are one thing. Yes, that's fair. It's a fair criticism. It's happened, but every team gets them. Tough schedule. Yes, 11th toughest schedule in the country, but Toledo and South Florida. We're not talking about the South Florida team from 12 years ago when it's like the number two team in the country. This was a low-life South Florida team that hadn't beaten an FBS team not named UConn in about 18 months. BYU lost to them. So that's a lot of frustration there.
Oh, yeah. And I can relate. I mean, me and Mitch, we talk a lot of football on the show and a lot of football off the show. And believe me, I think all of BYU right now, there's some frustration. But we want to take a quick and momentary pause from previewing the Boise State and BYU game. We want to look back at the first half of the football season with some helmet stickers.
Cougar Sports Saturday helmet stickers. Which Cougars were the best of the best this week? Mitch and Matt dish out the helmet stickers to the Cougars' top performers.
All right, so I'm going to start things off, Mitch, with my offensive helmet sticker. And I also honorable mention that if Tyson Williams was still healthy, and I got to give Dallin credit to this because he was on board before the season began about how good Tyson would be, I would be giving my sticker to Tyson Williams. But I just can't do it because he's not healthy right now. So I'm going to give my helmet sticker to Matt Bushman, tied on the team with 23 receptions. Just give him the ball some more, please.
Yeah, every single week we'll be giving out helmet stickers, usually recapping the previous week. But like you said, this week we're bringing out this segment for the first time here on the show and just kind of looking back at the first 6 weeks. I'm going to go with Tyson. I feel like he is still the best guy to this point. I mean, he is the reason, I think, for those two wins against USC, against Tennessee. It's not a coincidence that a month ago, when he goes down, BYU has since not won a game. I don't think there's any coincidence there. I think Tyson was a huge reason for BYU's victories. And without him, this is an 0-6 football team. I really believe that. And getting him in the portal was huge. And he's a leader in a lot of statistical categories still. So I'm going to go Tyson, offensive MVP. I hope and pray the NCAA does him a solid and gives him a medical hardship because, man, I can get excited about the thought of Tyson back in 2020.
Oh,
Zach Wilson, oh, that dang Zoob is getting too excited again. He's going to say it's a national title. No, I like the prospects of a Tyson Williams backfill with Zach Wilson one more time next year. Hopefully it works out for him.
There's no doubt with Tyson Williams, and this might be a crazy thing to say, but I do believe this. I think he is the most talented running back to ever play for BYU.
Wow. Even better than Jamal Williams?
Better than Jamal.
Harvey Unga?
I think he's more explosive than Jamal. I think he had a better all-around game. Jamal was phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from Jamal, but Tyson, that was a different dude for BYU. I think you're totally right. If he was still playing, I think it would be different. All right, next helmet sticker. You want to go with a defensive sticker here?
I'll start things with the defensive side. I'm going to go with Diangon Woluku. I think him being out last week highlighted his importance to this defense. He just makes plays. He's always around the ball. Whenever there's a loose ball, Diane finds a way to get in the fray. So I'm going to go with Diangon Woluku, who this week expect him to be at safety instead of cornerback this week tonight against Boise State. He's back from injury with that hamstring. Look for him, though, to be making a switch over from corner to safety tonight against Boise State. But my first half of the season MVP on the defense side goes to Dian.
I don't know if I love that that position change, but maybe that's a conversation for later. But
a little bit later in the show.
For me, I'm cutting my defensive sticker in half. And I'm giving half of it to Kavika Fanua and half of it to Peyton Wilgar. They are leading the team in tackles. Wilgar leads the team in interceptions. This was a position that we weren't sure if anyone was going to emerge and be a legitimate playmaker for this defense. And lo and behold, I think the linebackers have been the strength of this defense 6 weeks into the season. So a big tip of the cap to those guys.
And what's amazing, I remember you and I were at fall camp, and Isaiah Kafusi, when we asked him, you know, how are things shaping up at that inside linebacker position, he said, guys, don't worry. That's going to be a strength of the defense. And I thought to myself, well, that's being positive. Good for Isaiah. Like, you're rightfully so. But there's no one that's really going to be taking the lead here. But, hey, we should have trusted Isaiah. I mean, that guy was right, because you're right. That group has really stepped up, and they've had injuries. You know, Zane Anderson's went down as an outside linebacker, but the young guys in that linebacking room have really stepped up to where now, as Cougar fans, you got to get excited about Wilgar's only a freshman, and he's already performing the way he is. It's really exciting to see.
And we haven't seen, we've obviously seen Isaiah Kafusi, but we haven't seen Jackson Kafusi in quite some time. Maybe we'll see him this week again. He was another dude who's been good, not quite to the production of Fanua and Wilgar, but that group as a whole has been outstanding. All right. For me, my special teams sticker, no surprise here. It is Jake Oldroyd, 13 made field goals on the year, tied for second in the country. He's missed a few recently, but he has been rock solid. And for the first time in a long time, Mitch, BYU has a true weapon from that 45 to 53 range.
You still believing in Jake, though?
I still believe.
Because, he missed a big one last week
again. That was a huge miss. And we're not going to do this for last week's game, but the special teams is probably the biggest portion of blame for last week's loss. I mean, he makes that field goal, they're down one, and then they can kick a field goal getting back in the red zone. But yes, I still believe in Jake. I think he's got the confidence, and I expect him to bounce back.
It's hard to go against him, because still, makes a 51-yarder, makes a 54-yarder. This guy can make it from probably 55 in. I mean, he's been pretty close, almost as close to automatic as a BYU kicker could realistically be over the last, 15 years since, Matt Payne was around? And so, Oldroyd has done a solid job. For me, I'm going to go with Aleva Hifo. I thought Hifo the last couple weeks, he's really taken on a kind of spotlight role in that return game and given life to a return game that was non-existent. I remember in the Toledo game, the announcer going, one of the best punt returners in the country. I'm thinking, he hasn't really averaged anything yet, but the last 2 weeks, he's been really good, where he's been one of the top 25 in the country. So Aleva Heath, I'm going to give him the nod in the special teams.
I will add one more thing about Jake before we go to break. Can we remember this dude hasn't played in that many games? I mean, we expect him to be perfect. The dude, isn't he a freshman?
Redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman. He's played in 8 games? I mean, 9, I guess if you count a little bit of the UCLA. I mean, dude is just barely coming on the scene, and he's one of the better kickers in college football. I think we're in good hands with Jake Oldroyd.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I think the criticisms that people have dished out to him the last 2 weeks, not fair. I think Oldroyd, I still can trust that guy to make a big kick when the game is on the line. But we've got to take a break, though. On the other side, BYU safety Austin Lee going to be joining the program, previewing tonight's game against the Boise State Broncos. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. One of the guys that's going to help lead this defense is BYU safety Austin Lee, and he joins us now. And Austin, kind of just maybe describe the attitude and kind of the mindset of the team right now getting ready for this big game.
Right now, it's obviously, just frustrating coming off some losses, but it's another chance to be able to play a team that's ranked, a really good, well-coached team and talented team, and see what we're made of. I think that it's very, we need to really let the team know that we're still a good football team. We've had some bum losses and haven't been able to finish the second half of certain games and stuff, but we've beaten some good teams as well, and we played some good teams really good, so we got to keep our confidence up and remember that we're a really good ball team, and so we're going to face a really well coached Boise State team. They're very, very well coached. They're very explosive in what they do, and so it's just another great opportunity, and the attitude of the team's got to change to, hey, we're a good team, let's just go play ball and have fun.
You mentioned the second halves and maybe kind of a lapse there from the defensive side of things. Why do you think that's been the last couple of weeks?
Obviously, I think they've been able to make adjustments, and I think players, I mean, we make adjustments too, but players haven't been able to respond to those adjustments as fast as we would hope and we would like. And so, when we make adjustments, we gotta see it right away, you know, from the first play of the second half, if needed. And so, credit to them, but as players, we need to take it upon ourselves to be able to adjust to what our coaches is trying to tell us. And, you know, what they see, trust what they see, trust each other out there, and to be able to respond when needed.
You know, talk with Austin Lee, Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Curious, Austin, you know, what makes a good run defense? I mean, what do you think is going to have to change for you guys to have more success in defending the run?
I think just it starts obviously from Monday, just being able to watch film, being prepared as players, you know, getting the run past keys, and that comes from the back end as safeties. You know, it's not just the front seven. We need to respond, and we need to, you know, they might have an extra guy if we're not responding and taking good angles. And so I think the attitude's got to change to just, you know, from the snap of the ball, reading the demeanor of the lineman and the running back maybe, and being aggressive, you know, whatever scheme that we run, we can show some aggression and physicality to it. And so I think that's what needs to change in order to stop the run.
I don't think it's been all bad from a defensive perspective. There were some turnovers forced in both of those losses. What do you think the defense has done well that maybe people aren't noticing because of the losses?
I like you said, I think we've forced some good turnovers. Obviously, maybe not as many as we'd like because, you know, defensive mindset, I want all the turnovers we can get. But, yeah, I think we've been really sound in the most part, being able to play the pass well. Linebackers have done a really good drop in. They have the majority of the picks. They've done really well on that. They blow up some of the edges. I've seen some linebackers take on some 2-for-1s, and it's fun because you can see spurts of physicality, you can see spurts of athleticism, and it just needs to be consistent every play across the board in what we do.
You know, Austin, is there still maybe that belief that you guys can get a win? Because it's been a long time now since that USC game. I mean, that can, over time, the weeks can come by. I mean, is there still just that belief that you guys can still complete a full 60 minutes to get that win?
Yeah, there's a belief. Obviously, yeah, the weeks have added up, and we haven't been able to get a win, and that's really frustrating. But this week, we've been able to just try to stir each other up in remembrance that, like we said, we're a good team. We can compete with the best, and as long as we execute, because I feel like we just haven't been consistent enough as a defense, or even as special teams, you even saw, and offensively, just across the board, you know, all three phases need to work together. And if we're not working together, you'll see losses and you know, just bad play. And so we just need to be consistent.
Focusing on the Boise State game specifically, what do you think the defense needs to do to shut down this Bronco offense?
I think first off is what we want to do, obviously, is to stop the run. They got some playmakers. Don't get me wrong. They got some playmakers at the receiver spot. 16's a very speedy guy. 2's a very good route runner, even number 7. Very shifty. And so we're going to ask a lot to be technically sound in what we do. You know, whatever scheme it is, it's just how we approach the game, and that starts with alignment, assignment, technique, and it's just the details. The details have really got to matter, and whether it's being 9 yards off the ball or 9.5, you know, it makes a difference, and you see that and making either a big time interception, a break on the ball, a fumble, you know, just inches really do matter.
Not many guys, Austin, can say they transferred from Utah to BYU, and your senior year, you got 6 games left. It's been kind of a unique path. Utah, SLCC, BYU, just kind of, is it kind of maybe dawned on you that, man, there's only 6 guaranteed games left? I got to make the most of it. I mean, what's kind of running through your mind with your senior year, kind of getting that back half?
Yeah, it's been a big sense of urgency. Like everything I do, is you can't, you know, you never know when you can go down too. Like, even those 6 games, I might not even have all 6 games, you know. It's just, you never know what could go on. And there's a big sense of urgency to play each rep, even in practice, like it's my last. And so it's meant a lot to me the path that I have taken and being able to transfer from Utah, going to Slick, you know, ended up here and whatever stuff I went through, you know, like I'm just grateful for it. And it's in the back of my mind and how I approach things.
Last thing, did you recently get a beard card? We're seeing a little bit of facial hair. I respect that. I mean, we could keep it under wraps with a little bit of a beard card.
No, man, I wish.
No,
unfortunately, yeah, I have some online classes and it reminded me I got to shave because...
I'm sorry.
Hey, I shaved right before the plane ride, and it's already back. So you're right. I forgot I had this thing.
Well, good luck, Austin. Stay healthy, and looking forward to watching the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's BYU safety Austin Lee. Had a good moment there with him on his beard card. He had a little bit of facial hair, but I'm sure he's clean shaven, ready to go for tonight's big game.
That's one of many tweaks I think we all want to see happen out in Provo. Let the guys have a little scrub.
Yes.
It's no big deal. I don't get it.
Guys look more real. Like Corbin Kaufusi, when it was announced this week that he's with the New York Jets, he's on their practice squad. He just looks more real with long hair. He's got the beard now. It's like, wow, like I'm more intimidated by that guy as a defensive end than what he looked like as a clean-shaven guy. And speaking of Corbin Kaufusi now, he's in the NFL once again with the New York Jets. And let's, Matt, maybe take a look at the former Cougars now in the National Football League.
Let's start things off with Jamal Swag Daddy Williams with the Green Bay Packers. Had that nasty injury a couple weeks ago, and ever since then, he has bounced back in a big way. And hey, he helped one of my fantasy teams recently. Jamal Williams is looking good. 14 carries, 104 yards, and it looks like he's actually starting to split the backfield with Aaron Jones right now.
Yeah,
Green Bay.
Yeah, Jamal, seeing him back on the field, because that's that concussion he suffered, that head injury a couple weeks back on Thursday Night Football was very, really scary. I'm excited about Fred Warner right now. Fred Warner, the 49ers are 5-0, and he might be the best player on their defense. Fred Warner continues to do great things. On the season, he's got 31 tackles and a forced fumble. Last week, he had 6 tackles. He is a tackling machine for, again, a 49ers team that's undefeated right now. One of 2 teams that's undefeated.
Getting a lot of national praise as well. I mean, that defense is outstanding, and he's a big part of it. Another defender, Kyle Van Noy, recently with a scoop and score for the Patriots. Man, what a story he has been. Looked like he was potentially on his way out of the league with Detroit, and then it just resurrected his career in New England. He continues to be an anchor for the Patriots, and they're another undefeated team.
He's a guy that makes you realize, like, when guys don't work out at certain teams, it doesn't mean necessarily that they're a bust. It's just maybe the fit, the organization, off the field, things like that, because in New England, Van Noy has been amazing, and like Warner, one of the best players on that defense, and they're going to do some big things this year in New England, as they always have done. Taysom Hill, you know, you're probably wondering, what's the latest with Taysom now?
Nothing.
The Saints, they've been winning with Teddy Bridgewater, so credit to Bridgewater. I was down on him. I thought,
hold on. No, not credit to Bridgewater. Hey, credit the defense, hey, Mitch.
I don't want to credit Teddy too much, but they are winning games with Teddy Bridgewater starting. Because right when Breeze went down, I'm like, okay, Taysom time, it's here. Give the rock to Taysom. He's going to lead the Saints to victories. But they've still been winning without Breeze with Teddy Bridgewater starting. Last week, Taysom had 3 carries for 17 yards. So he's still finding a way to get on the field, which is a positive because I thought him as the number 2 quarterback would lead him to not playing at all, but it has limited his snaps and opportunities.
Significantly. I mean, those were his only 3 offensive plays of the game. The Taysom Hill thing, if anything, I do think that even though Teddy's been winning, it hasn't been because Teddy has necessarily played great. And so I do think that still keeps the door open for him down the road, but this is exactly what I think most of us expected with the Saints, where we'll throw Teddy in, he's a veteran, he'll keep the ship afloat until Drew gets back, but I think long-term, this doesn't mean anything for Taysom Hill. A couple other guys, Ziggy Ansah with Seattle last week, 2 tackles. He hasn't really been as advertised with Seattle, unfortunately.
Yeah, he hasn't, and this week he might be a scratch due to an injury. Ziggy's just a guy where injuries have been piling up for him, and you hope he gets right this season health-wise and he can play, because this is a situation where after this year, I don't believe he's on the books. I think this is a 1-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So if the injuries pile up, could this be the end of the road for Ziggy? Because how many teams want a little bit older defensive end. He's getting up there in age by NFL standards. So, Ziggy, hopefully he stays healthy and he can be that dominant force he once was. Because I saw recently ESPN, they named him one of the 10 greatest walk-ons in the history of college football.
That. Yep.
That was a pretty cool honor to give to Ziggy, because his story at BYU, all Cougar fans will remember how dominant he was in that 2012 season.
Have you read the book The System? I know it's a couple years
old
now.
Yes, Jeff Benedict.
Absolutely a great, great book, and there's some great stuff there about Ziggy Ansah. I mean, regardless of what he does in the NFL, he'll still be one of the you know, great stories of BYU football and what he was able to do. Kind of, I mean, he didn't even know what football was. And now he is playing the NFL. So, yeah, hopefully he can get healthy and bounce back. A few more. Michael Davis, 5 tackles last week. He's been solid for the Chargers. And then Harvey Longy, 1 tackle last week. And then there's a couple guys with no stats, that being Sione Takitaki and Bronson and Corbin Kafusi.
Been a little bit surprised that Takitaki hasn't had as big of an impact as I was maybe expecting for him to have in that Cleveland Browns defense. But Browns have not been that great to begin with. They've got some issues. They're basically, the Browns are being the Browns, and hopefully Takitaki can eventually get into some games down the road, but only 2 tackles so far on the season.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
All right. Top 5. And how about that intro, though? Right?
Yes.
That sounds clean.
Producer Dallin in the studio with us.
That was nice.
It sounds real clean, right? Yes, we are back with the top 5. It's been like it feels like it's been so long.
If there was one positive to the break, it's we fine-tuned some of the tasty audio nuggets for the show.
Yes, we did. The imaging sounds great.
Yep.
Tasty audio nuggets. There you go. I like that. All right, top 5 today. We're halfway through BYU season, and I thought, let's be positive. Let's be positive.
I
let's
like
look
that
at
too.
Some of the best. Look at some of the best individual performances by BYU players through the first 6 games. So that's the list today. 5 of the best performances by individual players. So I want you to guess not only the player but the game when they had
not said the stats,
performance.
Right? Because that's really next level.
No, not the stats, but the player and the game.
Okay,
that's the list. So starting at number 5, let's start with Matt. I'll let you have the first guest today.
All right. This is a total shot in the dark, but I'm going to go Jaren Hall at South Florida. Number 5.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That was, for the record, a pretty nice performance. I mean, the best performance by a quarterback in his first start under Kalani Sitake. Yep.
I'm going to go with Aleva Hifo against Toledo.
Oh. Nailed it. Now, I will say, Jaren Hall was like number 6. That was the one that I was like, you know, last week he was really good. But Aleva Hifo, 5 receptions, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was
and the punt return yardage.
And the punt return yardage against Toledo. The loss that day, but Aleva Hifo was fantastic.
Yeah. So. And the thing is, too, is my thought process was, okay, Aleva's performance was really good, but it was a loss. So it's like, you got to knock it down a touch. So, but yeah, Aleva, he's showing out really well for this BYU team.
You got the right mindset here, Mitch. Okay, number 4 to Mitch. What's your guess?
So I'm going to go, let's see here. I'm going to say Peyton Wilgar against USC.
That's good. That's good.
All right. I'm going to go Zach Wilson against USC.
No.
Can I finish the game before I get the buzzer here? Jeez.
Dave's spicy today. Yeah. All right. Number 4 on the list is Jake Olderoid against Tennessee. The 3 field goals, the big field goals. I felt like he had one of the best performances of anybody in an individual game, and obviously we know how significant those kicks were. So,
and that field goal, that last one before overtime at the end of regulation, I thought, oh man, he missed it, because the Tennessee crowds is like, yes, he missed it, no good. And but then the refs go, it's good. I'm thinking, what happened? How did it go in? But yeah, that was a great performance by Oldroyd.
Snuck it in. All right, Matt, back to you. Number 3.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna go Tyson Williams versus Tennessee.
I'm going to go with Zach Wilson against USC.
No, still in the Tennessee game. This time, Micah Simon. Seven receptions, 127 yards. Obviously, we know the big catch
you
that
could
set
make
it
an,
all up.
You could make an argument that could be number one.
I thought about it too.
That's why the top three were pretty fluid.
But yes, I thought, you know, that one was fantastic. And obviously, like, the game setting up that tying field goal at the end, like we just talked about, fantastic.
Best play, though, to this point of the season for BYU, clearly, was Micah Simon catch.
Without a doubt.
That's what I like with you, Matt. I thought that was probably going to be maybe number one from down. But
yes.
Dallin throws some curveballs at us. Someone gets to him. Is it Dave? I don't know if it was Dave this time. I don't know. Dallin was on his own.
Is Ryan Denny making an appearance?
John Denny's on
his own. John Denny. Put some respect on his name.
All right, number two, Mitch, to you.
Okay, so we're in the top two, and we're talking to Dallin. And Dallin has loved Tyson since the moment he came into the transfer portal. So it's got to be a Tyson performance. And I'm going to say Tyson against USC.
He's opened the door. So it really comes down to don't hit the buzzer. I'm talking through this, all right? Either comes down to, I think it's either Tyson Tennessee or Zach USC. And I'm going to go Zach Wilson versus USC.
We're going to keep it in the USC game, but to me, it was Kyrus Tonga.
He was so impactful in that game.
And yes, four tackles, the sack, a couple pass deflections, not the prettiest stats, but I mean, he set the tone early in that game and really dominated that offensive line. So that to me was so impressive.
That's a good one. It almost was number one.
It was almost number one, but that was number two. Oh. So we got one more left.
Okay, all right.
We got one more left. So it's back to you, Matt. You got to tie it here. We only got one right. So
what the heck? Tyson, Tennessee.
Wow. All right. It makes sense. Come on. 99 yards on the ground, including the two touchdowns. He was huge.
He was great.
I miss him. I just missed Tyson.
I do too.
It has been hard to watch
the team
without
a guy like that. I mean, it's just hard to bounce back. There's just no one on this roster that has the talent that Tyson does offensively.
And he was a big game performer. He was a guy that wasn't fazed by the big stages, and he went into Neyland Stadium and delivered huge results. Like, that's what BYU wanted him to do. And getting him out of the transfer portal, the way they got him, I mean, it's an amazing story, and it's a shame that BYU only got that guy for four games, because even within those four games, I feel like BYU didn't give him the rock enough, because in that Tennessee game, he got 17 times? I think
17 carries for 99 yards,
and I'm thinking, that guy should have got 25 carries. He was on point. But you know what? Hopefully the NCAA does something right by BYU for once. That doesn't happen ever. But hopefully they do, because I would love to see that guy get a medical hardship year, because he's going to apply for one. That's the intention from him, because I think he understands that most likely he's got no shot at the NFL, because the timeline of his ACL injury, it's going to cover up the whole combine, the workouts. At best, he's a practice squad guy next season. So hopefully he can come back to BYU, get another shot, finish his graduate program, and play one more year at BYU. But it's going to be very difficult for him to get that medical hardship year.
We want to take a moment to kind of talk big picture. What does this game mean? We talked about this a little bit with Bob, Mitch, but this is a big game for both teams. Even though BYU's 2-4, it's still a big game for them. I mean, if you look at their schedule, you have to start to wonder, how are they going to get to bowl eligibility if they can't beat Boise State and even Utah State? But you want to believe that they'll beat Liberty, but that may be a sneaky tough game, actually. Liberty's decent. You got Idaho State, UMass, San Diego State. If you're able to upset Boise State, one, that gets you back on track to getting to a bowl game. But two, I think for me, it just restores that confidence and that swag that this program has been missing since they lost to Washington. And after that USC game, just the excitement was an all-time high. Players believed. You could tell that there was a belief within the team that they could beat anybody. And right now, I don't know if I sense that feeling from this team.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it's nowhere to be found right now. I mean, I'll admit, after those first three games, I was on record on KSLSports.com. I said, you know, give Kalani a contract extension, because I thought at that time that was a program-defining win. I thought it was a perception changer, and the identity was starting to be formed. And it just spiraled in a hurry on this BYU team just after three games. And it's crazy to think of where they're at right now, because 2-4, and like you said, it pains me to think that a game like Liberty couple weeks from now could be kind of tough. Like BYU could be in a dogfight with Liberty. And yes, they got one of the best passing offenses in college football. They got one of the best receivers in college football. But tonight against Boise State, they're outmatched. And you know what? That's frustrating too, because Boise State, once upon a time, used to model themselves after BYU. Now it's like BYU is trying to be Boise State. And that's frustrating because, you know, it's just been a role reversal. And the last few years, BYU has not been trending up at all. They've been trending down. And they got to get this thing right. And the thing is that BYU, I feel like they're a type of team that could shock us all and pull off an upset maybe tonight, or keep this thing much closer than anyone's given them credit for. But at the same time, I could see them losing to a Liberty. I could see them losing to some team that they're not supposed to. That's the problem with BYU right now, is they are so inconsistent and they can't maintain success at all. At whether it's in the passing game, the running game, I mean, it doesn't matter. BYU can't maintain success at all. And they got to somehow find a way to shape that identity tonight.
If they were to get this win, Mitch, I mean, this is the highest ranked team of all the four ranked teams that have come to Provo this year. Boise State. Utah was 15 when they came, I believe. So, I mean, to get a top 14 win at home when you're reeling a little bit would be massive. It would be huge. And then you have a break so you can get healthy a little bit. And then you got the last portion of your schedule. And you could, I mean, a win here could propel you to, what, four or five in a row?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that if you beat Boise State tonight, you can beat everyone on your schedule. If you beat Boise State tonight, you can win the rest of your games on the slate. But the thing is that it's probably unlikely with this team because, again, they're so inconsistent. I think tonight, though, BYU, I do expect changes. I think BYU is going to have – I think Kalani's going to be much more involved with the defense. I think offensively you're going to just see a more aggressive approach, because at the end of the day, you're sitting at 2-4, and it feels like you just haven't put your best foot forward at all. Like, there's been no blitzing. There's been nothing creative on the defensive side. Offensively, it feels like they're very tentative. Just let this thing loose, man. And I expect that Jaren Hall probably gets the nod tonight. I'm hoping. It's still going to be a game-time decision as to who's going to start at quarterback, but I think Jaren Hall probably gets the start. The fact that he was made available to the media this week, he has been practicing, those are signs that there's some maybe optimism that he gets out and clear to the protocol to be able to start tonight. And I think BYU desperately needs him to start if they have any hopes of getting this upset tonight.
Yeah, especially with the banged-up offensive line. And you have a running game that has not found itself since the loss of Tyson Williams. So, yeah, it's. I mean, you really can't put into words what it would mean for this team to win this game. I mean, this could save a man's job.
No doubt.
Winning this game. It probably saves the season. It definitely gets you, I don't want to say back on track, but you win this game, you could see this team winning seven, maybe even eight games. I mean, this so much can swing from this game, and so it's got to be just of the utmost importance for this coaching staff and this team to put everything into this game, whether it's defensive changes, trick plays, personnel changes. I mean, you've got to get this game if you're BYU.
If BYU wins tonight, I feel like I think you can kind of cool off the hot seat a little bit for Kalani Sitake. I mean, because you go on websites like the hot seat for coaches in college football, Kalani's sitting at number six. Now, how accurate is that? Who knows? I mean, and BYU is a unique place. It's not like anywhere else where you just say, oh, after year four, you throw in the towel and give up on the guy. You'd have to have a lot of off-the-field issues, and that, for the knock on wood, hasn't happened for Kalani Sitake's program. And people like Kalani. No one's questioning that, but the results on the field have not been good. And when you lose to Toledo and USF, those hurt the program. It hurts the brand of BYU. But that can all be forgotten in a hurry if you do get a win against a good Boise State team, because I think they're really good. I think that this is a team that is the best program in the group of five. And if you get this victory and do it in a way where you were built in the trenches, because that was the talk we were discussing in the season going in, Matt, was BYU's going to be good on the offensive and defensive line. I remember Brackett El Bakri at Media Day telling us the heart of the defense is going to be the D-line. Where are you guys at? I mean, Brackett's done a nice job in stretches. Kyrus had that great moment against USC, as we discussed in the top five, but outside of that, I saw a lot of those guys getting stonewalled last week against the Bulls, and that was a bad offensive line. So BYU, they just got to be aggressive and be competitive for a full 60 minutes and giving it their all, because I just don't feel like I've seen that enough from this team. So if they could get that win, I think it'd be a huge confidence boost for the squad. Continuing this conversation, Matt, of, you know, what it would mean for BYU tonight against Boise State. We talked about what it would mean if they win. What would it mean, though, if they lose? Because, I mean, that's maybe the more likely probability here. The Cougars are a touchdown underdog right now against the undefeated Broncos. What does it mean for this program if they lose tonight?
If they lose tonight, they have a very high chance of missing a bowl game. A lot of it will depend on how they look. I mean, if it's a close game like it was last year, then maybe I believe that this BYU team can rebound after another bye, beat Utah State on the road, and get San Diego State and get to a bowl game. But if they don't win this game, or at least, at very least, show signs of improving as a football team, I have serious concerns about this team getting to a bowl game. And if they don't get to a bowl game, I have to believe that a coaching change will be made. I don't see how you can extend Kalani if the progression is on a downward trajectory. And so, I mean, this is big. They don't necessarily have to win this game, but they need to look, they need to get back to playing some football we saw back in September. It feels like that was forever ago. And, you know, worst case, I mean, things could change during the bye week if things really go south.
Yeah, BYU's got to, they cannot get blown out in this game. That is the worst possible outcome for BYU tonight, is not only losing, but getting blown out. And that's possible. This Boise State team, I don't think they're as explosive as maybe the Kellen Moore Boise State teams. Because when I think of Boise State, I think of high-octane offenses, and I don't expect that, especially if Hank Bachmeier's out, still kind of waiting on word whether or not, you know, Bachmeier or Chase Cord, the backup quarterback for Boise State, is going to start tonight. That'll also be a game-time decision, as BYU is going to have a game-time decision on their quarterback situation as well. But they can't afford to get blown out. BYU cannot afford to be blown out, because if they do, they go into a bye week with so many questions in 2-5, and I think the real questions then become, like, is Kalani getting canned? Because if they get blown out, that conversation ramps up to the highest degree possible, I think, because Boise State, to me, is a program that is good, but they shouldn't be 3 or 4 touchdowns better than BYU. They can't afford to get blown out tonight. I mean, a loss, it might happen, but like you said, they have to show improvement. I want to see aggressive play calling defensively and offensively, and that show tangible progress, because the personnel is there. There's enough talent still, despite the injuries, for BYU to perform at a high level and be competitive in this football game.
Yeah. Another thing that I think about, you know, we've been talking a lot about BYU football, and specifically, like, what's the vision? Where's the team going? Are we improving? One thing that really stands out to me, and there's my expectations for BYU football, Mitch, aren't as high as others. I want to win 8 games a year, which very well could have happened this year if you beat Toledo in South Florida. Yes. I want to have a exciting brand of football, which has been hard to come by the last couple years. And I want to play well at home and play well against the rivals. And now we're entering a stretch, Mitch, where we have 2 rivalry games back-to-back. Kalani has only won 1 rivalry game. That's Utah State and Boise State, since he's been the head coach.
Yeah.
And so those are things I expect. I don't expect you to beat Boise State every year. I don't expect you to win every game against Utah State. But you can't win 1 game in 4 years against your rivals. You've got to be better than that. And so this is an opportunity to show, hey, we're winning some games at home. We beat USC at home. We're getting better. We're going to start beating our rivals. I mean, if they were to beat Boise State and Utah State, he would have 2 rivalry wins this year that would exceed his outcome in the previous 3 years. I mean, that would be truly heading in the right direction. But if they can't win these games, then he's a 1-in, I can't remember the number off the
top. 1-11.
1-11 if you lose these 2. Right?
Yeah, it'd be 1-11 because 3, it would not be good for Kalani. And that's inexcusable. You cannot lose all these rivalry games and the 1 win coming against the 3 win Utah State team. Yeah, that's not a good look. I mean, because this BYU team, I do think that they're going to be competitive in this game. I think going into the fourth quarter, we'll share our game predictions a little bit later in the show, but I think BYU can keep this thing close going into the fourth quarter. It's a matter of finishing the job, because BYU has shown that they can, you know, get a lead. They can do that, but just finishing the job, completing it in the fourth quarter. They did it against USC. They did it against Tennessee, but they just, for some reason, they haven't been able to recently. So this game, if they lose, Kalani's on the hot seat. There won't be no doubt about it. And I think you'll have to have tough conversations in the bye week if you're Tom Holmo and say, do I make a move now? Do I make a move in the bye week and say, hey, so-and-so, maybe it's Steve Clark, maybe it's Ed Lamb, if that's possible, because maybe they have to have an LDS interim head coach as well. I don't know on that, but maybe they make a change and say, we got to cut bait now and say, we're going to, you know, save recruiting and make a change now. That's a possibility if they lose and get blown out. If they lose, but they show progress and they're aggressive play calling and you're seeing sacks, you're seeing big plays, maybe you can have that moral victory. Maybe. I don't want to turn to that, but losing would not be good, especially if they get blown out. That they cannot afford to do that tonight against the Broncos.
No. And, it's kind of depressing to think about what could and would happen if they get blown out and the season, the train gets off the tracks. I hate to think about that, but we could be looking at a coaching search. We could be looking at players entering the transfer portal. And
all
to think, Mitch, it's not because you're losing to Washington. It's all because there's no consistency, which has led to losses to Toledo, South Florida, Northern Illinois, East Carolina, UMass. It's frustrating, but that may be what has to happen, and we're going to find out tonight. This is a huge game. Yeah, it's
BYU is going to play well tonight against Boise, but it's going to be a very tall order. They can't afford to lose one against the Broncos yet again. 2-7 all time against Boise State coming up. 10th meeting tonight in Provo. Coming up next, though, they'd be talking with ESPN analyst Ryan Leaf. He's going to be on the call for tonight's BYU-Boise State game. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. Now on the program to preview tonight's big game, he's going to be on the call, the TV call. He's going to be the color analyst for ESPN2 broadcast, former Washington State and NFL quarterback and host of Pac-12 Radio on Sirius XM. He is Ryan Leaf. Ryan, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Nice hearing Cougars. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, I was going to ask you to start things off. Is this your first time in Provo?
It is. It is my first time in Provo. Such a beautiful town. You know, I love the Salt Lake City area. We come and spend some time up in Park City. So I have never been south here like this to Provo. And, boy, the mountains right up against the stadium here. Really, really picturesque. I'm excited for the game tomorrow night.
Talking to someone like you who knows college football as well as anyone, I mean, what comes to mind for you when you think of BYU football?
What I think of is Steve Sarkisian. That's who I, you know, always tried to go after. He was leading the nation in passing efficiency when I was in college. So that's the name I always remember. And of course, just the greats at quarterback and Ty Detmer and Steve Young and Jim McMahon and just those crews. And then every single year, it just seems like there's always a great quarterback that plays here. The offensive system and what Lavelle Edwards had done and put in place. So that's what speaks to me when I think of BYU and excited, you know, to be part of college football history, really, calling this football game.
Yeah, and BYU fans are desperately hoping to get back to that great level of play at quarterback. And Zach Wilson was doing a very good job. He was playing really well up until that injury he suffered against Toledo. And then Jaren Hall stepped in last week, and he showed pretty well, dual-threat guy, and then Baylor Romney as well. What do you make of BYU's quarterbacks? Because I know that it's going to be a game-time decision as who's going to be the starter. But from what you've seen on film of BYU's quarterbacks, what do you see from them?
Well, I mean, if what they would like most is if Jaren Hall could go. I know that. Baylor Romney's just, after being away on his mission, he hasn't, until he got in the game last week, he hadn't played in a football game since 2014. And, you know, that's a long, long time to be without competition. I thought he jumped in and did a pretty good job against South Florida late in that football game, but if all could be best case scenario for BYU is if Jaren Hall could go in this football game, because they're going to need it. You know, Boise State is as good as it comes. They get pressure on the quarterback. They play solid defense, and then offensively they're really, really good as well. So it's going to be you can't beat around the bush on this end. BYU has been decimated by injuries. They played four Power Five opponents in their first four games. They've been beat up. They are young. They're finding ways to piece things together and just get it done. You know, they need to win one of these games against Boise or Utah State to probably put themselves in a position to get back to a bowl game. So the quarterback position is particularly important to that. And Jaren Hall can't go. Baylor Romney will, or Joe Critchlow. And he's got probably the most experience of anybody. And if he has to go, they feel pretty comfortable with any of them playing in the play and using that whole playbook.
Talk with Ryan Leaf here on Cougar Sports Saturday, KSL News Radio. Ryan's going to be on the TV broadcast called Color Analyst with Clay Matvick on ESPN2. Radio call will be here on KSL News Radio. On the other side with Boise State, they got some, you know, kind of questions as to who's going to start at quarterback for the Broncos. Hank Bachmeier had a hip injury last week in their win against Hawaii. What do you make of the quarterback situation for Boise State coming up later tonight?
Well, you know, all three of them probably could go. We don't know who's going to start quite yet. Bachmeier practiced the last couple days, but they feel just as good with Chase Cord and even Jalen Henderson. You're probably going to see all three of them. And they've been super successful, right? They're an undefeated football team. They are going to be favored in every game the rest of the year. They are the highest-ranked Group of Five team out there, and this BYU game has always been close, but they got to feel pretty good going into this game just with the injuries that exist for BYU and how well this Boise State Broncos team has been playing. I really thought the game a week ago was going to be more competitive between Hawaii and Boise, and Boise State just came out and absolutely dashed those dreams pretty early. They've been the most successful Mountain West team for a while, and they continue to do that once again this season.
And it's amazing what Boise State has become over the last 20 years. It feels like, you know, right after your playing days were done at Washington State, you know, Boise State just kind of, being in the WAC, they just kind of took off with Dirk Cutter and then Dan Hawkins and Chris Peterson and now Brian Harsin. I mean, it's kind of just amazing what Boise State has become, how they consistently, year after year, continue to put out a great team. And I'm curious, you know, is this team as good as some of those great teams that Boise State has fielded in the past?
Yeah, I don't see why not. And you're exactly right. You know, it's kind of a neat story Brian Harsin told about when he was a player under Dirk Cutter and how they took one a pretty bad loss on the chin. And Dirk brought everybody out to the south end zone, and he had a kind of come to Jesus conversation with his team, and they said how they this team pretty much sucked, and they needed to take a long look in the mirror and figure it out. You really can kind of trace it back to then Dirk Cutter's time there, Dan Hawkins, Chris Peterson, now Brian Harsin, and they've been consistent. It's been a environment that has bred success, and it continues to do it. They bring in this certain type of player, and the culture that exists has continued with the quarterback position specifically, and it's been fun to watch, and it's been probably very difficult for a lot of teams who've had to be their opponents to deal with the Broncos over that span.
Talk with ESPN college football analyst Ryan Leaf for a few more moments here. We'll let him go on this Saturday afternoon as BYU going to take on Boise State later tonight. You probably had interactions with Kalani Sitake yesterday in your pre-broadcast kind of preparations. You get to talk with these coaches and players to get some broadcast prep in. You know, Kalani's been facing a lot of scrutiny from the outside voices here in Utah because, you know, BYU sitting at 2-4. What's Kalani's demeanor like right now going into this game from your vantage point?
Yeah, I don't think it was really altered in any way. He loves his job. He loves the kids he's coaching. He's just, you know, he's not sugarcoating it, right? They're dealing with a devastating amount of injury, and it doesn't matter, right? You still got to go out and perform. You play a Power 5 conference schedule. Therefore, you're going to have to deal with injuries, and they've started to recruit differently and more for depth because they're willing to go play anybody else. A year from now, they're going to play six Power 5 teams next year, so it doesn't get easier, right? And they need to figure out a way to win. What has been the biggest takeaway I think he had is is they've always been so good against the run. And this year they have been absolutely horrible, right? They are, I think, 123rd in the country against the run, which is just, they've only got to the quarterback five times this season, which is at the very bottom, 224th, I think, out of 130 teams. They got to stop the run. They got to get pressure on the quarterback. And looking across the other side of the field and seeing Boise State standing there doesn't make things a whole lot easier on those two fronts, because Boise State will run the football and their quarterback will drop back there and make plays throwing it. So those are the two of the biggest things that I took away from our meeting, was that they want to figure out a way to stop the run and get to the quarterback, and they're going to figure out, and they're going to do some different things to try to make that happen.
I'm curious too, Ryan. I mean, do you feel like there's any areas in this matchup on paper that BYU has the edge? Because I feel like I look at it top to bottom, and there's just not many areas where, to me, that I feel BYU has the clear-cut advantage over Boise State. What say you?
Well, I don't think a lot of teams have any clear-cut advantages over Boise State, so I think that's going to be pretty difficult for any team. I think when Boise went down to play Florida State, he probably couldn't figure out many. So Boise's become a juggernaut of sorts when it comes to the Group of Five and what they do in the Mountain West. And I think that teams, I'll put it this way, BYU is going to have to play a very, very solid football game with no mistakes. And even when that's all said and done, it just may not be good enough with the limited depth and especially the starting quarterback position. That's going to be a big one for them. But, I'm excited for the opportunity. It's on the road at night, homecoming here, for BYU. The weather could play a factor. It's supposed to get kind of wet and possibly even snowy. So, it's going to be a fun one. And this game's always been so competitive. And I know BYU really looks at it as a rivalry game because they play it every single year. So I expect to be competitive. They're just going to have to play their best against this Boise State football team.
Last thing for you, Ryan. When you said Mountain West and powerhouse and referring to Boise State, it got me thinking, because once upon a time, BYU used to be a WAC powerhouse and part of the Mountain West Conference as well. Independence in year 9 for BYU, I think it's went okay. It hasn't been a huge booming success. It's a tough schedule. I mean, as you mentioned in your conversation with Kalani, 6 P5s next year, and BYU is probably operating at half the budget of a lot of these Power 5 programs. Do you feel like Independence is working for BYU so far?
Well, that's difficult to say. I'd love to, I'd really like to see them in a conference, because then I just think it would do so much more for them in terms of firm schedule each year, and then an opportunity to win something. Because you don't win anything outside of the football games, right? There's something to be said for playing for a division or a conference title, and I think that benefits a lot of teams that may not necessarily be in the college football playoff conversation. So, it's tough. If I told you and I gave you the six games to start the season, I said they would be 2-4. Tell me the two games they'd win. And I think most people would probably say, probably Toledo and South Florida.
It's true.
And not Tennessee and USC, right? I mean, they've been in every football game, I think, this year, other than the Washington game where I felt they were solidly blown out. And, so that bodes well for their competitiveness, their willingness to deal with adversity in a healthy way. And, I love when good teams play good teams. I wish everybody in the country would play a BYU-type schedule. I think that would make it for a more entertaining college football season. Hopefully we'll get to see more of that, coming up. But I applaud BYU and how they schedule. And they love going to do special things, right? They went to Madison a year ago and beat Wisconsin, those types of things like that. They went to Michigan State a few years ago and did the same thing. And they're very capable of doing it. It's just a matter of building that depth. And we're really seeing it right now with the injuries and how they have stacked up, utilizing that depth. And usually at the quarterback position, and Zach Wilson's been as good as they come at the quarterback position for BYU, having him go down and kind of be in a week-to-week type of scenario right now, it's played a huge part in those last two games here with the loss to Toledo and the one against South Florida.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan D. Leaf. He's an ESPN college football analyst and Pac-12 radio Sirius XM host. He is the great Ryan Leaf. And Ryan, again, thank you for hopping on and looking forward to your broadcast tonight and enjoy Provo.
I will. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
And that was the great Ryan Leaf, former Washington State Cougar and NFL quarterback now. ESPN analyst. He'll be on the call tonight for ESPN2 BYU versus Boise State. Got to take a break. On the other side, continue to break down BYU and the Broncos here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
Let's shift our focus back to Boise State and BYU, and let's get to a segment we love to do here on the show where we preview the opponent.
Three and out. A quick hit look at BYU's next opponent on the gridiron. It's three and out on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Three and out here on Cougar Sports Saturday, where we preview the opponent, and we do this by incorporating some football terminology into the segment. And let's go to first down.
First down.
All right, first down for me. This is where me and Mitch, we will preview an interesting stat that is relevant to this upcoming matchup. And for me, there are so many statistical nuggets that really jump off the page. But the one that took the cake for me was Boise State's third down defense is fantastic. Fourth in the country. So the number four representing fourth in the country for third down defense. Boise State, phenomenal. BYU, they will have to be good in third down offense if they want to have a chance to beat Boise State.
That's impressive. Boise's done a really nice job defensively. They got a stout defensive front, and that's where I kind of go as well with my stat, Matt. You know, BYU, the number I have, 99.5. That's the difference between the amount of yards BYU's defense is giving up on the ground, rush on the running side, and then Boise State is giving up 125 yards per game rush on for the opposing rush running attack. So BYU cannot stop the run. Boise State is 99 yards better than BYU in terms of giving up rushing yards to the opponent. So BYU is the eighth worst team in college football, giving up 224.5 yards per game on the ground. Not good. BYU cannot stop the run. And you heard in that interview with Ryan Leaf in the previous segment, a couple segments ago, BYU, it's shocking how bad it's become with them stopping the run.
Boise State, top 50 team in rush defense, and that's been an issue for BYU. Let's get to second down.
Second down.
All right, second down here, Mitch. This is where we spotlight a particular player that we want to keep an eye on. And for me, I'm with Ryan Leaf. BYU needs to hope and pray that Jaren Hall woke up today and is feeling good and has no symptoms. And because, one, I think he's a dual threat guy. And I just don't know if you get that with Baylor Romney. And knowing that BYU is banged up at running back, obviously they don't have Tyson Williams. We're hearing rumblings that Manuel Supka, he might be banged up a little bit. So we don't know what's going to happen with the running back. But Jaren Hall can give you that dual threat ability. If he's not there, I'm not sure if Baylor Romney can provide that type of rushing from the quarterback position. So hope and pray that Jaren Hall is ready to go for this game.
We're kind of in the same wavelength, Matt. I mean, because I'm thinking about rushing the football as well, the rushing yards for BYU. I'm going to go with Lopini Katoa as the player of the game. Lopini has shown in last year where against group of five teams, he can have success. Against power five teams, he was pretty much non-existent in the first four games this season against P5 squads. But last week against USF, a bad USF team, as we highlighted moments ago, Lopini showed out pretty well. Yeah. And it was maddening to me when that drive where he was running and had multiple great runs where they were moving the chains, first downs, and then the next drive, he's nowhere to be found. It's Sione Finau, a redshirt freshman who really hasn't played at all in his BYU career. I did not understand it at all. And even, you know, Alex Keery, who was down in Tampa last week, he heard from Lopini in the postgame press conference, and Lopini said, yeah, I was confused why I was out too. Like, I'm paraphrasing there, but he was kind of stumped as well why he was pulled. So Lopini, I think, is going to get the lion's share of the carries for BYU today against Boise State. So I'm looking for Lopini to be BYU's player of the game. Let's go to third down.
Third down.
third down here, Matt. We're going to be looking at maybe a bold prediction, a bold takeaway that is going to transpire in this BYU-Boise State game. We'll start with you.
For me, I think that BYU, for the first time this season, get ready for this, will have a drive that is 10 plays or more, and it results in a touchdown. That is my prediction.
I like it.
14 drives this season that have been 10 plays or more, and none have resulted in a touchdown.
How is that possible? I can't believe that. When I saw that stat last week, I was floored about that stat, because that just doesn't seem like it's possible to happen over the course of six games to have multiple drives where you've got 10 plus yards. Even within last week's game, they couldn't get a touchdown. I'm with you. I love that bold prediction. Now, for me too, or you got another thought on that?
I just want to, before we get to you, I just want to say, I think we do know how it's possible. It's the red zone struggles, Mitch. And that story you told, I want to say it surprises me about Lapini, but it doesn't. And I think that's been some of the complaints that BYU Nation has had about this coaching staff, especially the play calling. How is that a thing? You know, we talked about it earlier in the show. Matt Bushman, let's get some red zone targets. If Lapini's going, keep giving him the football. There's just been too many coaching miscues in the red zone that have led to a staggering stat like the one I just read.
My bold prediction for tonight's game, Matt, is that BYU is going to be plus +3 in the turnover margin.
Oh.
I think BYU is going to get some takeaways here. I think that this defense is going to be more aggressive. I'm expecting Kalani Sitake to be more involved with the play calling tonight on the defensive side. And with that, I think BYU, they're going to have more aggressive play calls and they're going to be more opportunistic. I think BYU ends up being plus +3 in the turnover margin. I think that they have to have that margin at a minimum to win this game. It's similar to that of the USC game in week 3.
Yeah.
They have to be at least plus +3 or better to have a chance to win this game, because that USC game, BYU was plus +3 and it took overtime to get the job done. BYU's got to have that at least tonight against the Broncos.
That was 3 and Out here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Before we take a break, let's quickly look at some of the BYU opponents and what they'll be doing later today. Obviously, Utah has a big game against Arizona State. That will be at 4 p.m. on the Pac-12 Network.
Yeah, 4 p.m. Pac-12 Network. Must be kind of rough having two teams that are nationally ranked and no one's going to see that game.
Oh, man. And as we look kind of down the schedule, Utah State, they've got Nevada today, Liberty versus Maine, Idaho State in Idaho, sneaky, interesting in-state rivalry game up there in Idaho. UMass on a bye, San Diego State later tonight against San Jose State. And then, as we mentioned, USF in Toledo. Oof, not showing well right now.
It makes me feel a little bit less optimistic about my belief that BYU will be competitive to the fourth quarter in this game against Boise, because the way Toledo has played, I mean, remember, Toledo lost last week against a bad Bowling Green team who only had one win on the season, and USF getting the doors blown off them. I must say, it makes me feel a little bit less optimistic about BYU's chances, but obviously we'll get to our predictions here in a little bit. The Broncos of Boise State, I'm emphasizing it now, they pose a huge challenge to this BYU team that's looking to get right. This is not the best opponent to have to face on the schedule to try and get right, because they're a good football team and they're undefeated. One of the last remaining undefeated teams, with Wisconsin going down earlier today against Illinois, the undefeated teams in college football, it's shrinking. So, hey, maybe BYU can be like Illinois and spring the upset, because Illinois, they were a 30-point underdog. BYU, only a 7-point dog to the Broncos. So it can be done, but it's going to be a tall order.
It definitely can. And if there is one thing to be said on a positive note about the Kalani Sitake era, is that there are surprises when you least expect them. I mean, there's been some really low lows, some really frustrating moments, but there's been some really high highs that a lot of people didn't expect. I think about that Wisconsin game. We left the BYU Cal loss thinking, what just happened? We've got no chance against Wisconsin. And then you get that win. And so it's not insurmountable for BYU to win this game, but they would have to have multiple turnovers, like you've mentioned. I believe Jaren Hall has to be the quarterback. I liked what I saw with Baylor Romney. I just don't know if that can be sustained for a full game. And they're already missing some key weapons. So to have Jaren Hall not be there would make it, in my opinion, nearly impossible for BYU to get this win. And even with Jaren Hall, it's going to be tough. But I want to say BYU, Mitch. I really do. I just can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it. I have to pick Boise State. I'm going to make my selection right now. I think Boise wins by more than 10, and I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 41-24.
You know, that would be tough. I mean, BYU's got to be competitive in this football game. They got to have a chance to win it late and to make fans feel like progress happened in this game. Now, I wanted with BYU, I think that Jaren Hall is going to play. I feel like he's going to play tonight. The fact that he practiced and was made available to the media, I think those were signs of reasons to maybe suggest he's going to play. And all indications are that, you know, he did show well in those practices, but, you know, still was at that point when we spoke to him on Wednesday, was not officially cleared from concussion protocol. So that's why it's a game time decision as to whether or not Jaren or Baylor is going to get the start at quarterback for BYU. I think this BYU team defensively will show well. I think they're going to rise to the challenge and stop the run a lot better than they've done in previous weeks. Kyrus Tonga can give you an amazing game. Is he consistent? No, he's not. Last week against South Florida, he was not good. He was not the Kyrus Tonga we saw against USC. But that BYU defensive line has enough talent to say, at home against a team with that has a lot more to lose than BYU, because I think Boise has a lot more to lose than the Cougars. I think the Broncos, I mean, they have the chance to go to the New Year's Six. If they lose, they fall back quite a bit. So I think for BYU, their defense is going to rise up and play their best, I think, performance to this point of the season. But like Ryan Leaf said earlier in the show, it still might not be enough. It still might not be enough for BYU to come away with a win, because thing is, with the Broncos, they will not beat themselves. They're not going to be a penalized team much. BYU will make the dumb penalties. BYU has got to limit the late hits out of bounds,
yep,
the holding, the false starts. That can't happen tonight. They cannot have that. They got to play nearly a perfect game of football. And I don't trust BYU enough to say they're going to play a perfect game of football. I think they're going to be competitive, and I'm going to say Boise State 31, BYU 24. I think it's going to be around that touchdown. I think the wise guys know something, and I think that's going to be the difference between this game tonight for BYU.
If it is close, I just beg and please, football gods, please listen to me. Don't let it end like it did last year. I don't know if I could handle another one of those where BYU has the chance to get the win and it is a mistake.
But wouldn't that be like reasons to build off like optimism? Like, no. Hey, BYU was competitive and close at least against the Broncos.
I don't think so. Some would argue, and I may listen to your argument that it could be, but for me, it just hurts.
Yeah,
it hurts.
I get you.
It hurts too much to have an opportunity to win the game. I'd rather see something like BYU's down 14 in the fourth, and there's a couple scores exchanged, and they cut it to 7, and maybe they try an onside kick, and it doesn't happen, and they lose. That would be a quote-unquote moral victory for me. But being at the, what was it, 2-yard line, and not coming away with the win, right, that one hurts too much for me to say, oh, good things happen, even though we choked at the 2-yard line. So I don't want to lose in that fashion.
This Boise State team is not as good as the Kellen Moore squads. They got some questions at quarterback, too. Is it going to be Hake Bachmeier? Is it going to be Chase Cord? So they got questions, too. But, you know, we were just talking in the break. Brian Harsin, head coach, they got the edge there, clearly. And that's been one of the differences the last couple weeks for BYU, is that the opposing staffs, they have made the in-game adjustments where BYU has not. Is BYU going to be able to identify areas where they got to improve in a game and make those in-game adjustments? Charlie Strong did. Jason Candle at Toledo, he did. And that's what ultimately got them the wins over BYU. Can they make the in-game adjustments? Whoever's calling the plays, whether it's Kalani, whether it's A-Rod, Jeff Grimes, who knows? They got to make the in-game adjustments necessary to come away with a win, or at a minimum, keep this thing close.
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting game. I don't want to be right. I want BYU to be competitive, and they can be. This team is certainly capable of winning this football game. We just haven't seen that consistency enough throughout the season to go on a limb and make that selection, but anything can happen. I mean, one thing you can't say about BYU is that they don't have talent. There is a lot of talent on this football team, and there's some talent that's hurt. I get that. But even on the second and third strings, there are some talented dudes on this team, and if they play to their potential, they could win this game.
Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, Cougar Sports Saturday, on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcasting platforms. Give us a rating and review. So if you missed any of the show, the interview with Bob Beeler, Ryan Leaf, and Austin Lee, so when you're heading down to the game tonight, give those a listen, and also make sure to follow us on Twitter at Biamonte Matt, at Mitch underscore Harper, and at KSL Sports. We'll be back coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, yep, to kick off pregame coverage, and then we'll toss it over to network coverage at 6:15 as BYU kicks it off tonight against the Broncos at 8:15.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.